Insight on Business, the News Hour with Michael Libby is made possible through the support of Tarot International. The Tarot trainers are experts in helping you and your business to achieve, lead, and outclass in every situation. Learn more at tero.com.
Welcome back to Insight on Business, the News Hour. Grateful that you are with us from wherever on the planet you happen to be. Well, this week, some interesting things happened in the great state of Iowa, as they are happening all over the United States. And I was on a press conference just this past week where I got to listen to Keenan Crowe. Now, Keenan is the director of policy and advocacy for something called One Iowa. It is a nonprofit that watches over issues that are important to the LGBTQ community. And I was so struck by his conversation and his depth of knowledge relative to something that just popped up over the past week from the governor of the state of Iowa about some sort of a bill that she wants on her desk before the end of the session that she can sign that has to do with athletics and transgender individuals. I don't know a whole bunch about that, but certainly Keenan Crowe does. Keenan, welcome to the Business News Hour. Grateful that you've made time to be with us today.
Yeah, thank you for having me, Michael.
All right. Let's peel back the onion a little bit. What is it? First of all, this did come out of left field, yes?
Yeah, it absolutely came out of left field. We saw this proposal earlier in the session. A couple of legislators, Representative Shipley and Salmon, had introduced this kind of legislation earlier, but it really didn't get any traction. There was not even a hearing held for it. No subcommittees, no committees, nothing. And so after the first legislative funnel deadline, it became ineligible for debate for the rest of the year. Now, as we all say, the session is not over until it's over. Things can, of course, be added into other bills via amendment. They can be added into a standings bill. There are a number of ways to get ideas that haven't cleared the funnel back. But one of the ways that we don't normally see is the governor going on Fox News and saying that it needs to hit her desk by the end of the legislative session. That's a new one for us. So it absolutely came out of left field in terms of the timing. There was a chance to debate it earlier in the session if folks thought it was priority, but they didn't take that opportunity. So now it's kind of being shoehorned in at the last second.
Well, I happen to know that Iowa is not the only state that's considering this language. Would that be accurate?
Yes, there are over 30 states that are looking at this language. It has already passed in about six states. So it's a fairly new idea in terms of trying to restrict transgender youth access to sporting events that are in their school. There have been discussions about this in the past, but it's been much more in the realm of what would be the best policy to make things fair and include everyone. This wave is not about that at all. It's really just about excluding people. That's the primary goal, is not to find a way to include people and make sure it's all fair. It's really just complete exclusion. Or, some people have said, well, it's not exclusion. It's that folks have to go with the sex that they were assigned at birth. That is, in fact, just exclusion. I mean, asking somebody to deny everything that they know about themselves to be true in order to participate is excluding them. That's not a reasonable ask.
Our guest, ladies and gentlemen, is Keenan Crowe. He is the Director of Policy and Advocacy for One Iowa. All right, let's talk about what's the problem? But what's the issue that we're attempting to fix in the state of Iowa and 29 other states that is so dire that we need to pass something before the Iowa legislature, at least, concludes its business, which it already should have concluded a week ago? So what's the big problem? What's the issue we're trying to solve?
Well, unfortunately, I don't have an answer to that question, Michael. We don't have any examples of unfairness here in Iowa with transgender kids participating. In fact, we don't have any examples anywhere. Folks have a couple of things that they think proves their case, but every time you really drill down on those, it turns out that it's not the case at all. So you'll hear, for instance, about some of the Connecticut runners, the cisgender girl. So for those listeners who don't know, cisgender is the opposite of transgender. So if you're not transgender, you're cisgender. Cis and trans are just, you know, Latin roots that mean same or different. So cisgender means same gender. If you identify with the sex that you were assigned at birth, you're a cisgender. So the cisgender girl that sued, saying that it was unfair, she received a scholarship, and the transgender girl that was sued didn't. So there was no issue there. There's another one that they point to in Texas law, Mac Beggs, who is a transgender boy, so someone who was assigned female at birth and now knows themselves to be a boy. That person won multiple girls' state championships. Now, why might that be? Well, the reason is actually because Texas has a law exactly like the one that Iowa is looking at right now that forces kids to compete as the sex that they were assigned at birth rather than the one that they identify with. And so Mac, even though he really would like to have participated in the boys' league, that would have been his choice, was forced to participate in the girls' league. And so he won those competitions over and over and over again because he was forced to participate in the girls' league. And so kind of the irony about this is that they keep saying, well, we don't want boys and girls sports. Well, the only way to accomplish getting boys and girls sports is this proposal that they're putting forward right now.
So in Texas, it actually worked in reverse.
Yeah, it actually caused fairness problems where there were no fairness problems before. The other thing is, in Iowa, gender identity protections have been in place since 2007. And so trans kids have been participating in sports in some capacity for well over a decade. The Iowa High School Athletic Associations have had policies on this since 2015. They work with school districts to make sure that folks can be included and that everything is fair. So there's already a system in place to manage the fairness aspect. And despite what the governor says, that's not what this proposal would do. It would actually make things deeply unfair for everyone.
Our guest is Keenan Crowe, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking about transgender youth and Iowa sports and sports in general in some 30 states where this identical language is being talked about. And yes, there is, and we're going to get to this. You know, we don't do politics on the Business News Hour. We try to stick to business. Is there a business component here? And we're going to bring that up in just a little bit, so hang in there with us. All right. One of the things that you said during the presser that caught my ear was you just mentioned that the Iowa Athletic Association, the transgender youth, have been accepted in playing in sports for quite some time. But you also said something about the Olympics that caught my ear. Tell us that story.
Absolutely. So one thing that I like to point out is that the overwhelming majority of transgender kids, like most kids, don't even play at elite levels, right? They just want to play everyday school sports and participate with their peers. However, if we want to look at the elite levels, I think that is kind of instructive on maybe where the fairness might come in. So let's take a look at arguably the highest level of sports competition, and that is, of course, the Olympics. Transgender people have been allowed to compete in the Olympics since 2003. So, and there have been about 54,000 Olympians since that point, since that policy was put into place. And not a single one of them has been transgender out of that 54,000, not one. So not only have they not, you know, won all the medals or anything like that, they're not even qualifying for this kind of competition. So you would think if this was a huge issue with fairness, that we would see transgender people all across the country, all across the world, dominating these competitions, right? But that's not what we see. We see the exact opposite of that. We see folks who are performing at similar levels to their peers who are the same gender as they are. So that's just not, you know, the fairness argument has a quite steep hill to climb, and there's really just no evidence there.
Would this, and I hate to open up another can of worms here, but would this be akin to any type of legislation that commonly known as bathroom bills?
I don't think it's the same, but I do think that it has kind of similar effects. For one, it's not looking to include or try to figure out how we can work with students to make things safe and inclusive for everybody at school, right? Because that's really what we want. We want all the kids to be treated equally and fairly. But it really is under a lens of how can we exclude these people? How can we marginalize these people even further? And especially when we're talking about transgender kids, that's extremely dangerous. Transgender kids have a lot of issues on their plate already. The suicide rate for transgender youth is absolutely astronomical. And so we should really be looking at any effort that we can to include them, to make their lives a little bit easier, rather than constantly targeting them for exclusion. And that's exactly what bathroom bills, sports bans, medical care exclusions, all these things that we saw this year that were proposed, that's what those things do. And I don't think sometimes that people recognize the real harm that is incurred, not just by passing these laws, but even debating these laws. The Trevor Project is a national LGBTQ youth suicide hotline, and they regularly report that when this kind of legislation is introduced, they get more calls to their hotline. The volume of calls directly correlates to this legislation being discussed. So it's not just a political game. These are real kids, and these are real kids' lives.
Being a father who's raised several children, I can attest to the fact that being an adolescent, however you identify yourself, is tough enough. I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on. From
middle school and high school is hard for everyone. Yeah, but it's particularly hard for transgender kids.
Sure.
For some obvious reasons.
All right. So we now understand what the issue is and where it is coming from and what the call is about fairness. So I want to get into the business side of this. Mm-hmm. Again, we focus on business, Keenan.
Yeah.
And every day from every business organization, be it the Iowa Business Council, the Greater Des Moines Partnership, the Iowa Association of Business and Industry, there is not a week that goes by that we're reading about the need to attract and retain qualified and highly educated workers to the state of Iowa. I'm just spitballing here, but my thought would be if we are attempting to attract highly qualified, motivated individuals to work in the state of Iowa, wouldn't the state of Iowa want to be more, can we use the word welcoming and friendly to people who may be different?
Yeah, maybe different than what you assume Iowa looks like, right? And I think a lot of people have this assumption that Iowa is this kind of straight white Christian state, which is, for the majority of folks, a true statement. However, as you noted, if you're excluding people kind of arbitrarily, if you're just saying, well, this type of person isn't welcome, and this type of person isn't welcome, and this type of person isn't welcome, you have quickly eliminated a good chunk of your potential work pool, right? I mean, that's just basic math. If you take 100% of the population and you arbitrarily exclude 5%, well, that's 5% of people who could have worked for your company. Maybe they have skills that are really in demand right now. Maybe they have, something else to offer you. There's all sorts of reasons that we shouldn't be doing these things, but the business case is probably one of the best cases that you can make here. And I guess my argument to our business leaders across the state, I will say many of them engaged in legislation such as the bathroom bill. You will see registrations on there from folks like Wells Fargo, Greater Des Moines Partnership, the Chambers, et cetera. All those folks were willing to step up on that particular piece of legislation because they knew the ways that it was going to impact their employees and their families. My case is that this is going to impact their employees and their families in a way that is probably just as significant, right? If you have a transgender kid that really likes soccer and you hear that a state has banned kids from playing soccer who are transgender, you're probably not going to move to that state. I mean, that's going to be devastating to your child, right? So if you're thinking about relocating or taking a new job, that's part of the calculation that you're going to take into account. And so my hope is that business leaders will expand their lens on this and recognize that attacking the kids of their employees is going to impact, you know, business opportunities in the state in a way that is maybe just as significant as attacking the employees themselves.
Now, we're already looking at population numbers. The census population numbers were just released, and the United States grew by just 7.4%, which there's a whole host of things that are revolving around that, especially for the business community. Because we're going to have to do something about that, either have more children or change our immigration policy or perhaps not pass laws that alienate all kinds of people who are already here. And in a state, for example, and we're just picking on Iowa right now, but this is, you said this is happening in 29 other states. I don't know about Minnesota, but we're already losing families and teachers and administrators who in the top two tiers of counties in the state of Iowa are moving and working in Minnesota because the pay is better, the opportunities seem to be better. And so already we're on the other side of the population issue. And it would just, we do this every day. We've been doing this for over a dozen years, looking at business and social issues, and something like this just is really confusing to us as to why this is all of a sudden so important.
Yeah, I totally agree. And Iowa's population growth is notably lower than the U.S. population growth. It hasn't been doing very well for quite some time. Also of note is that our unemployment rate is much lower than the U.S. average right now, too. So you combine that low population growth rate with the low unemployment rate,
right,
and you're starting to get a situation where people are going to be scrambling for any employees that they can get, let alone the best and the brightest, right? So we really need to be doing something significant to attract and recruit and retain these kinds of folks. And unfortunately, this kind of legislation, these kinds of ideas move us exactly in the wrong direction.
His name is Keenan Crow, and he is the director of policy and advocacy for One Iowa. Final question for you, Keenan. How many years have you been working with One Iowa?
Yeah, it'll be 8 years on July 1st.
Wow.
So,
well, congratulations.
For folks in my generation, that's kind of unheard of.
So. Right. Well, you've obviously found a home and something that you're passionate about. So many people, I believe, and this is not pontificating, this is not opinion, but I think people are generally sometimes confused about what goes on under the Golden Dome and for what reasons. And when it's something like this that does impact not only society, but also business, people ought to maybe take a second look. So we thank you for spending so much time with us today, Keenan.
Absolutely. And thank you so much for having me. I think it's definitely true that people sometimes struggle to understand the processes in the state legislature. As the old saying goes, you know, you don't want to see sausage made or laws made, right? But I think there's some additional confusion too, because a lot of folks don't understand what it means to be transgender. And it can be hard to understand what it means to be transgender, especially if you've never met a transgender person. And it's common to have all those questions at first, but I think we can all agree that transgender kids should be treated with dignity and respect, just like everyone else. And if we can come to that agreement, I think we can make good policy.
Once again, that's the voice of Keenan Crow from One Iowa. And yes, we will have links to that website on our radio blog. Well, that's a wrap for today. Thanks so very much for being with us. For all of us that put this together each and every day, Chap Ramsey is our production coordinator, sales and marketing. Aaron Libby, the voice of the Business News Hour, is Hunter Pease. And the music you're listening to right now is arranged, composed, and conducted by our friend James Goodlett of Jam Good Productions. For all those folks, my name's Michael Libby. Have yourself a great day. Be safe, be well, be careful. Most of all, be good to your fellow man. Good day.